You're listening to Rav Danny Eisenberg, and today I want to talk about this week's parasha, Parashat Truma, which deals with the building of the Mishkan. The command is made by Hashem, Vasuli Mikdash, Veshachanti Betocham. They shall make for me a sanctuary, and I shall dwell amongst them. So the concept is described here, what the purpose of the Mishkan is, the Shekhinah, God's divine presence, should dwell there. And the interesting question is, what exactly is the Shekhinah? And it's quite a baffling idea. After all, Hashem's presence, Hashem is everywhere, but apparently the idea is that Hashem expresses His presence in some places more than others. And this is the concept of the Shekhinah, Hashem's revelation of Himself in the Mishkan. But now I want to discuss it from a certain give a different kind of slant on this whole idea, because we actually see there are various Kabbalistic texts that talk about an interesting idea that parallels between the Mishkan, or the human being, and Am Yisrael. That's to say that while Am Yisrael is the macro version, the macrocosm, the large version, the human being is the microcosm. And when you make this parallel between the Jewish people in the large sense and the individual in the small sense, so you see actually utilization of the term of Mishkan by the human being as well. So the Kabbalistic Sfarim talk about the idea that the brain of the human being is a Mishkan for the Neshama. It's a sanctuary for the soul, one type of soul, the Neshama. And so if we are to follow this parallel and we say, well, if the human being has a Mishkan in his brain for the Neshama, so the soul inhabits, so to speak, the Neshama inhabits the brain, so we can then draw a parallel to the human being, to the Jewish people, and say, well, if the Jewish people has a Mishkan, and what's in the Mishkan? The Shekhinah. So what we're saying is, in a sense, is that what the Neshama is to the individual, the Shekhinah is to the Jewish people. Now we have to try and understand the significance of what this parallel means. So when we discuss the concept of the Neshama of a person, what do we know about the human soul? We know a number of things. First of all, it gives life to the human being. So it's interesting ideas. And when we look at the parallel when it comes to the Shekhinah in amongst the Jewish people, that the Shekhinah gives life to the Jewish people. So if we look at the very, very end of Sefer Shemot, you see something very interesting. So Moshe has completed constructing the Mishkan with all its structures, and the Chatzer, the courtyard for the Mishkan. And then the Torah describes in Pasuk Lamed Daled, it says, Vayechas Ya'anan et Oel Moed, the cloud, Hashem's cloud of glory, covered the tent of meeting. Uchvod Hashem Maleet HaMishkan, Hashem's glory filled the Mishkan. So like the soul, in a sense, fills the body, animates the body, so too the Shekhinah filled the Mishkan. V'lo yachol Moshe lavo el Oel Moed, Moshe couldn't go in because the cloud was dwelling upon it and Hashem's glory was filling the Mishkan. And then it says something fascinating. It says, Pasuk Lamed Vav, it says, Uvehalot he'anan me'al ha'mishkan yisu b'nei Yisrael. When the cloud would ascend from upon the Mishkan, the children of Israel would travel, b'chol masehem, with all their journeys. V'im lo ye'ale he'anan, v'lo yisu ad yom he'aloto. And if the cloud would not ascend, so they would not travel until it ascended. Ki'anan Hashem al ha'mishkan yomam, for the cloud of Hashem was on the Mishkan day, all day, ve'esh tiyeh laila bo, and in the evening and in the night time the fire should be upon it, le'necho bet Yisrael v'chol masehem, in the eyes of the house of Israel in all of their journeys. What is the Torah telling us? The Torah is telling us that from the time the Mishkan became inhabited, so to speak, by the Shekhinah, from that point on the Shekhinah never left the Mishkan. So the Jewish people would always stay wherever the cloud of Hashem was. So if the cloud of Hashem stayed there, the Jewish people would not move. If the cloud ascended, so then they knew that it was time to move, and they would then move the Mishkan to wherever it was the cloud descended, wherever Hashem had decided would be the next camping place, then the Mishkan would be placed there, and then the Shekhinah would then again return to the Mishkan. So what we're saying here is the inseparability, or virtual inseparability, of the Shekhinah from the Mishkan. So, and this is similar to the concept of the soul never leaves the person well, as long as they live, and if it does, then a person dies. And I suppose you can even say as follows, that we do have a partial idea that the neshama leaves when you go to sleep, but it's only a temporary thing, because the neshama always comes back. Okay, so now we ask ourselves, well, what happens to, if the Shekhinah represents the soul of the Jewish people, well, what happened when the Jewish people went into Galut? So when the temple was destroyed, so the Shekhinah should have disappeared. Well, it's quite surprising, but in fact the Navi Yechezkel tells us that the Shekhinah did not just sort of ascend to heaven when the destruction of the temple took place. The Shekhinah actually went to Bavel, as if to say that wherever the Jewish people go, Hashem's Shekhinah will be with them. And that is essentially the relationship between, from that point on, between the Shekhinah and Am Yisrael. It's the soul of the Jewish people that never leaves them. And this is how we understand our survival throughout history, because the Shekhinah is with us. It gives us life. Now that's one dimension of the role of the Shekhinah and its relationship with the Jewish people. But aside from that, we can also point out that the Neshama doesn't just give life to the individual, it also gives spiritual insight, Ruach HaKodesh. That comes from the Neshama. And essentially, the idea then, if the parallel would be, that the Shekhinah within Am Yisrael gives us our Ruach HaKodesh. As we know, the Jewish people only had prophecy at the time when the Shekhinah was in its most powerful state, which is in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, and shortly after, in the early return from exile, the beginning of the Second Commonwealth. So then there still were, that was the end of the period of Nevuah. So essentially, what is that? What are we saying? We're saying that the Shekhinah gave spiritual insight to the Jewish people, primarily in the realm of Nevuah, but even now we say that we don't have Nevuah as before, but there is still Hashem's Shekhinah still operates within Am Yisrael on some level, and therefore it gives us that spiritual insight on whatever level it is that we have. Let's now examine the Mishkan further, and we'll discover in fact that there are different titles used for the Mishkan aside from Mishkan. For example, when the Torah commands us to build the Mishkan, it says, Ve'asuli Mikdash, they shall make for me a Mikdash. What is a Mikdash? So, in order to understand what a Mikdash is, why he uses the word Mikdash as opposed to Mishkan, we have to go to close to the end of Parashat Tzaveh in Perek Kaftet, and we see, for instance, if we start from Pasuk Lamed Ched, it's describing how the Jewish people, Hashem commands the Jewish people, Moshe, to purify the Mishkan, and then he tells them on Pasuk Lamed Chet to bring the Korban Tamid every day, and this is how they will essentially inaugurate the Mishkan. So then it says after that, what will happen? Pasuk Mem Gimel 43, V'noarati Shama Livnei Yisrael V'nikdash B'Kvodi. I shall meet there, Bnei Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. V'kidashti et oil moed v'et hamizbeach v'et Aaron v'et banav akadesh l'chayin li. And I shall sanctify the oil moed, the tent of meeting, and the mizbeach, and Aaron and his sons I shall sanctify to minister to me. So there, the verb that reverberates over and over again is v'kidashti, akadesh. I will sanctify. So this is the concept of a mikdash. The mikdash, where the emphasis is on the mizbeach and Aaron and his son. So the mikdash represents the concept of the place of worship, where the Kohanim play a focal role. And not only do the Kohanim play a focal role, but the mizbeach plays a focal role. So this highlights the idea that the Mishkan was intended not just as a place for the neshama of the Jewish people to reside, but also for the Jewish people to approach Hashem in service as well, which is focused primarily around the Mizbeach. So in a sense, what we have here is a dichotomy. On the one hand, Hashem approaches the Jewish people. Hashem places his Shekhinah amongst us, as if in the same way that God breathed the breath of life into into man, so too he breathes his Shekhinah into the Jewish people. At the same time, the Jewish people approach the Mikdash in order to serve Hashem. So God approaches man, seeks out man, and man seeks out Hashem to worship him. Now there's a third title for the Mishkan, and we just mentioned it in the Psukim that just previously. That's the Ohel Moed, the Tent of Meeting. And here we see that the idea, what is the purpose of the Tent of Meeting? In the Tent of Meeting, Hashem says in Pasuk Mem Gimel, I will meet you there, Yasher Va'ed Lachem Sham, I will meet you there, Ledaber Elecha Sham, to speak to you there. So here, that's an additional dimension of the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, focused around the Mishkan, to be a place where of communication between God and man, that God can communicate to man, man can communicate to God. In other words, the Mishkan, the Ohel Moed, is the place of, on the one hand, nevuah, prophecy, and on the other hand, from man's perspective towards God, of tefillah. So if we say as follows, if we say that the Mishkan is the place where God seeks man, and the Mikdash is the place where man approaches and worships God, so the Ohel Moed is the place where the encounter takes place, where they meet, where they interact, where the dialogue exists between God and man. Now, what's quite fascinating is that the Torah, in fact, gives us three different descriptions of Hashem's presence, Hashem entering the Mishkan, in three different Svarim, different Chumashim of the Torah. At the end of Sefer Shemot, it has the description that we gave, that the glory of Hashem, the cloud of Hashem, entered into the Mishkan. So we said that was an expression of the Shekhinah entering the Mishkan, that would, from then on, the soul of the Jewish people would never detach itself from the Jewish people. On the other hand, if we have a look at Sefer Vayikra, in Sefer Vayikra, we have, what is Sefer Vayikra about? It's really about the Mikdash. It's about telling you how to offer korbanot and what the role of the Kohanim is to be in bringing korbanot. And in fact, you know, when it describes the same events of the day when Hashem expresses his presence in the Mishkan, it describes it quite differently. In Parashat Shmini, it talks about that after Aaron and his sons have gone through the whole Miluim process of becoming Kohanim, so then a fire descends from heaven onto the Mizbeach and consumes the korbanot that have been brought there. So here we see that there's a different type of revelation taking place, even though this happened on this very same day as the first one, as the first script revelation. In the end of Sefer Shemot, the revelation is expressed as a cloud that fills the Mishkan, which is the, whereas the Sefer Vayikra, the revelation is a fire that descends and consumes the fire that descends upon the Mizbeach. There's a different focal point in the Sefer Vayikra. So it seems very clear that Sefer Vayikra is all about the element of Mikdash. Now the third description of revelation that takes place is in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshat Naso. If you go to the end of Parshat Naso, we know we remember Parshat Naso because the 12 different Nasiim, the heads of the tribes, each brought an offering in order to dedicate the Mizbeach, and the Hashem told them one Nasi each day has to bring it. And then in the end, the Torah summarizes what they all brought, and it says that when Moshe would come to speak with Hashem, he would hear the voice of Hashem speaking from above, between above the Aron, between the two Kruvim, speaking to him. So here we have a different description of the revelation, but the description of the revelation is not one of a cloud that descends, not one of a fire that descends on the Mizbeach, but rather one of a voice that emanates from between the two Kruvim. This in fact is describing the establishment of the Ohel Moed as a place of dialogue between Hashem and man. Now the question is, why is that brought in a separate Sefer? Why is that brought in Sefer Bamidbar? So, well, we can explain based on what we've seen so far. As we said, Sefer Shemot culminates with the entry of the Shekhinah into the Mishkan. Why does that happen in Sefer Shemot? Well, Sefer Shemot begins with the creation of the body of the Jewish people. The Exodus, Yetziat Mitzrayim, is essentially the creation of the body of the Jewish people. So that's part one of the creation of the Jewish people. Part two of the creation of the Jewish people has to be, well, just as man, God formed man from the earth, and after that he breathed into him the breath of life. So too, the creation of the Jewish people requires Hashem to breathe the Shechina into Am Yisrael. And that's part two of Sefer Shemot. Part one is the Exodus. Part two is the entry of the Shechina to be the soul of the Jewish people. Sefer Vayikra has a whole different perspective, and this is describing how man can approach Hashem in terms of the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. Then Sefer Bamidbar describes the dialogue or the interaction between God and man, the whole process of the journey of the Jewish people through the desert. This was the beginning of the forged destiny that God was forging with the Jewish people. They were now working together, moving together as a couple, so to speak, through the desert and through destiny, through history together. Now it's interesting to note that Sefer Bamidbar is where all the problems begin, because Sefer Bamidbar, you're starting a new relationship in a sense between Hashem and the Jewish people. It's not to say that there weren't certain hiccups along the way in Mara, Masam, Riva, etc. There were various complications on the way before Sefer Bamidbar, but the real issues, if you like, we would call them the Shana Rishona issues, the first year of marriage issues between Hashem and the Jewish people, really come out in Sefer Bamidbar, which is the time when the dialogue begins, and this is the interaction of Sefer Bamidbar, where the real challenge of Am Yisrael as an earthly entity, combining destinies, joining destinies with Hashem as a spiritual entity, that's where the complexity arises in Sefer Bamidbar. So let's just summarize what we've tried to say here. We have said that there are three primary names of the Mishkan. One is the Mishkan housing the Shechina, which, as we said, is the soul of the Jewish people that God has breathed into the Jewish people, that keeps us alive and guides us with spiritual inspiration. Second of all, the Beit HaMikdash is a mikdash. It's a place of where we can approach Hashem to serve Him, and the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah calls it. He says there's a mitzvah to make a house for serving Hashem, and he quotes Ve'asuli mikdash. They shall make a mikdash. That's a place for service of Hashem. And then thirdly, the third role that it plays is to be an Ohel Moed, a tent of meeting, a place where Hashem can communicate with man, and man can communicate with God, and essentially they can forge a common destiny together with dialogue, with the complexities that entails, and that's really what Sefer Bamidbar is all about. I'd just like to close by saying that in our modern time, we actually would see that these three different roles of the Mishkan are fulfilled in three different arenas. The concept of a Mikdash is embodied today in primarily in the Mikdash Me'at, in the Beit Knesset, in the Shul, where we approach Hashem to serve Him. The idea of the Ohel Moed, the place of meeting, the tent of meeting, is the Ohel of Torah, the Yeshiva, the Beit Midrash, where we have communication with Hashem. Hashem communicates to us throughout His Torah, and we interpret that message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the third arena, with the Mishkan, that the Shechina dwells amongst Am Yisrael. This, of course, happens both in the Shul and in the Beit Midrash, but it operates in the venue where we act together as a community, whether it means a family within the home. So the home that Rabbi Akiva says, if a couple are virtuous, then the Shechina will be with them in their home, or wherever we as a community combine together to serve Hashem. There you have the concept that the Shechina is with them. But we daven that we will soon merit the opportunity to have all three sites, all three focal points, all converge into one with the Beit HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, b'mehirah v'yameinu, Amen. Shabbat Shalom.